Hello, how's it going?
Hi, Riggs. I'm okay. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Just got back from Aldi.
Tell me, what did you buy? I was in Lidl yesterday. Tell me what you bought in Aldi.
Aldi's loads better than Lidl. I'll say that right now.
Yeah, no, you are right. But Lidl's all right.
When we went camping the other week, we went to Lidl on the way, and to be honest, it was thoroughly like disappointing.
I've got a big Lidl near me though, and it's it's pretty good still. I mean,
they're all pretty big, aren't they? There's no Lidl Express or anything like that.
No, there are smaller Lidls though. There are some Lidls that have more of a sort of like a Spanish supermercado kind of vibe, you know. But this one is like pretty big. It's pretty good. They got like a middle aisle, you know, they got things, they got like pants and stuff.
Well, my shopping's terrible. Like I only go in there for carbs. Like my partner she's down the veg aisle and that, and I'm just looking to see what new sort of crisps they have in and that.
Oh yeah, what new crisps did they have in?
It is Snack Right, good brand. Strong crisps, and it says great with beer underneath, and then it says hot chicken wings.
Chicken wing flavoured crisps.
Some bits that taste like bone and that. It's good.
Nice.
MSG free as well. So
why is that? I don't like how that's considered like a selling point. MSG's nice. Nothing wrong with a bit of MSG.
I'm going to be honest, straight out of the gates. I don't know what it is.
It's chemical compound, isn't it, that they put in some Asian food, like Chinese food and stuff. And it's like, makes it nice, doesn't it? Isn't it? Like, it's like, I think people don't like it because it's like...
too nice.
No, it's like an artificial thing, right? It's like made in a lab. I don't know. They use like mice's eyes to make it or something. But it's really nice.
Is that what the M? Is that what the M stands for?
Yeah.
Mouse scrotum granules.
That's exactly what it is. It's the scrotum granules of a mouse. There it is. Nice. I mean, I think it's a powder, right? Some kind of MSG. Powder. Anyway, guess what I bought from Lidl? I bought this big...
Yes. Oh.
No, don't guess. I just want to tell you. Okay. I bought this big pack of... how do you say it? It's this. There's this cheese I'm really into at the moment. Name me some cheeses.
Is it that one? Liedernammer. Liedernammer.
No, I do like that, but no, it's not that. It's...
Did you say name some cheeses? All right. Edam. Gouda. Brie.
Gouda, that's it. Gouda. Gouda's the one.
Yay! What a sliced Gouda.
Yeah, I'm well into it at the moment. I can't get enough of it. It's but the Lidl one is proper good value.
Are you eating it with anything, or are you just eating it straight out of the packet like some sort of mouse scrotum granule?
A bit of both, to be honest with you. Like, I'll use it in... What I like to do is basically I have ravioli that I eat now. I've always eaten ravioli, but I've got some in. And I put it in a bowl, put a bit of salt and pepper in there, and then I put one cheese slice over the top of the ravioli, a bit like a lid, and then you microwave it, and it's amazing. It all goes in, and then I eat one while I wait for the microwave to ding.
That's like sort of the law, isn't it? You have to eat one.
Yeah, and also Lidl's chocolate is really nice. That's what I've been eating today.
Yeah, it's because they are from like the middle of Europe, you know, the chocolate belt. They're from that sort of area.
Yeah. So even their cheap, like 50p chocolate bars are proper nice.
They're worth at least 75p.
At least.
I like these food-based opens that sometimes we do. Like we either talk about how to cook like the perfect bachelor's pasta meal, and this time we're finding out how to cook the best sort of vegetarian tinned ravioli.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, Gouda is something that I wasn't brought up with it. You know, it's not like, it's like a posh name, isn't it? It's like a posh cheese. Kind of. And I just had cheddar. So what is Gouda? Like, I know it's cheese, but why is it Gouda? Why is it different?
I've got no idea, to be honest. I it's because they
You're
make...
a chef.
Yeah, but I don't make cheese. I'm not a cheese chef. I'm not a cheese farmer.
Yeah, but you should know. You should know these things.
I don't grow cheese. You know what I mean? Like, I don't churn. I've never churned. I've never been like, oh, welcome to work. How about do some churning? That's never happened.
Maybe you should learn.
Yeah, well... No. Like, what's your job? Maybe you should learn how to program computers or something.
Well, maybe you should just shut up. I'm looking it up anyway. Let's have a look. Gouda cheese is a mild flavoured yellow cow's milk cheese, originating from the Netherlands.
They should call it that, shouldn't they? That just sounds better.
Apparently, it's one of the most popular cheeses worldwide.
All of the cheeses say that. Look, cheddar's the most popular cheese, and I'll fight anyone who says otherwise.
I think cheese strings are the most popular cheese, aren't they?
So, like, do they have, like, the big four of heavy metal? Metallica, Slayer, Limp Bizkit, and there's another one.
And Sam Harris. And
Sam Harris. well, there's like big four of cheese, isn't there? There's cheddar is like the Iron Maiden of cheese. I think
I'm not sure I like this analogy, but you can carry on if you want to.
No. But Brie is like Anthrax. I'm just gonna say that.
Like it got in there somehow, but no one knows how.
I'm saying that because it's got blue cheese is up there. It's got to be up there. I'm just saying that I don't even think Stilton. I just don't think that Gouda even makes it into the top four, the big four.
Okay, but let's think about it in this way. Okay, Gouda doesn't make it into the top four. That's fine, but that's the populist vote. My motion is, how about Gouda? Is Deftones.
I was going to say more like Judas Priest, like it's still up there, but it's not quite.
No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Judas Priest is a Derrity Triangle.
Yeah, Judas Priest, they're a creamy band, aren't they? They're like kind of pale. They're like, they're goodery. They're sort of a goodery band.
No. Judas Priest is fucking Primula.
I'm giving Deftones one of the orange cheeses, like a Red Leicester.
No. Gouda's, no, but look, Gouda's my favourite at the moment, so therefore Deftones okay. Is Gouda, so there we go.
Well, I'm glad we figured that out. That's something that needed to be done. It was on the agenda and we did it.
Yeah. Welcome to Who Is She? The Big Brother Watch Along podcast where we watch Big Brother Series 1 on this. This is the first series.
And this is episode 11.
Well, listen, so here's the hot news. Riggs deleted the last podcast, so we've missed one. Basically, I sent Riggs my side of the podcast because we're doing this in, you know, from different houses, different parts of the country, but I sent mine over to him dutifully on time, like I always do.
On time, a week after we've got you on time.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. It was a bit late. Riggs deleted his half and formatted the memory card like a psychopath for some reason. Don't even know why. You don't have to do that every time, you know. And so it's...
I just like a clean slate, all right? I like to start fresh.
Yeah, well, that's gone now forever. I mean, we could just release... I was thinking we could release just my side.
That's what we were talking about before. I said that maybe I could just redo my bits just based on what you said.
Didn't we record for like 4 hours last time? You just got like make up 4 hours.
But I will say it is fitting that the episode that we deleted just happens to be the same one where Invisible Andy left. I just like that's quite a fitting send off for him, isn't it?
I mean, look, you can try and like put a positive spin on it all you want, but the point is, it was a big episode, the last one. It was the eviction episode. It was the double episode. I think we had a lot of funny things to say and look. So let's just do like a recap over it for now. Can we remember anything that happened? Can you remember any of it? Because I can't. I remember that.
So Invisible Andy's out.
Andy was evicted.
Epstein still guilty and dead.
All right, so I think we've pretty much got them up to speed now.
But then when we come back into this episode, there's another one that's been blocked, so we're having to piece together like a whole fucking week at this point.
And not just that, right? Because this is what happens sometimes on this podcast, okay? So because we're using this YouTube playlist to watch the old episodes of Big Brother, which, you know, I'm very grateful that we have access to it. But some of the videos have been blocked or they are not available in this country for some reason. And the last episode is that, and unfortunately it's like an hour long 3-day episode, so we've kind of come in like in the middle of like, we don't like, literally I had no idea what's going on. Like, things have changed drastically, personalities have shifted, alliances have changed. I don't know where I am anymore, you know.
Things have changed drastically. Like, we've just come on, we just like come in like maybe like this, what, it's 4 or 5 days after the last episode, and Anna's just completely like fallen to pieces. She's talking about leaving the house, and she's just like, she's developed one of those 1,000-mile stares. It was almost just sort of staring into the back of their own eyeballs.
So Anna is like manically depressed at the moment. Darren is now like friends with Nick, which is a U-turn I never thought I would see happening. And like Kaggy and Craig are friends now as well, and they're like bonding over family and stuff. Like, so like, let's, I just wanted to know, like, what do you think has happened in the last 3 days? What's your speculation?
Maybe Andy really was the thought of the wedge that was being driven in between everyone.
maybe, but what about, maybe Anna secretly loved Andy.
Yeah, and she's just completely fallen to pieces now that he's gone. Maybe she secretly was really in love with Sada, and it's only just starting to express it now.
That is more likely. But yeah, Anna, she wants to leave. She said she wanted to leave the house. She's like, she was thinking about, you know, doing a runner,
hopping the wall. I hope she doesn't go, because she doesn't know, because there was another nomination episode, and we found out today that she's never been nominated by anyone. So she's just sort of like, be like, come on, I know everyone's down with you in the house. Just sort of fucking sort yourself out.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're a good person, because as we also found out, Nick has also never been nominated for the entire 3 weeks.
Which is mad, isn't it? That is crazy.
Oh, he'll be nominated next time, no doubt. He's on breaking point. Yeah, there's something going. Like, we know what happens with him ultimately, but he is on a downward spiral at the moment, which is quite nice to see, you know, because he's
no, it is. And the thing is, like, Nick, he took to Captain Tom and Fleabag Anna, or Ostrich Tom, as maybe we'll talk about that in a minute, but I'm gonna call him Ostrich Tom from now on. And he took him into the garden, and like, that was, and what he said to them out there was probably my favorite Big Brother moment so far. When in like episode one,
episode one,
they were like telling stories about their past and like their first like loves, and basically like Nick had this whole story about how his like first wife had been like killed in like Australia, or was it like Paris or something like that,
in a car crash.
And then he was sat them down outside and was just like, there's this thing that's been playing on my mind for like 2 weeks, and basically when I went into the Big Brother house, my friend told me to just make up some outrageous story to try and impress everyone. But I don't think his friend meant for him to sit down and tell him that his first wife had died in a car crash.
His friend, yeah, right. Like, I'm talking, like, by his friend, he means like the two devils that he has on his shoulders. Like, he's like, so, his psychotic inner voice.
He's asking a lot of us to even believe he has got outside friends.
He doesn't have friends. He just has people that he can manipulate. I mean, he's like an absolute like class A psychopath, isn't he? And God, I love him for it.
But as part of me is like, he told that lie and then he knew that he was going to say it was a lie and everything when he was doing it. Like, he's like, even his sort of like confession seemed like disingenuous.
Well, no, I don't know, you know, like my interpretation, maybe Nick's playing me, but like my interpretation of it is that it seems like in this episode that he is actually worried genuinely about how he's being perceived outside. I think it's just finally sunk in that he's acted like a bit of a knob, and I think he's worried that people are gonna, because you can tell like he really wants people to like him.
No, I think it's I just don't trust him at all. I just don't believe it, like, because like, do you know when they, so in this episode as well, they said that they could have like some like private counseling, and Nick went and did it, and then Darren was sort of making fun of him because he was like, you're in there for 2.5 hours, got some feelings, have you there, Nick?
Look who it is. 2 hours in counselling. What a pussy.
What a fucking pussy, old Nick.
Have you ever had counselling, Riggs?
No, man. I've tried to sign up a few times, but the last time I did it, I tried to fill up one of those sort of online forms, and then there was a box which said sort of like, what's wrong with you? And I couldn't even talk to a box about all my problems.
I had counselling at university. And it was like, yeah, it was one
like
of
careers counselling.
Yeah, they put me down as a bricklayer. No, do you know what? I've never had, you know, like in American programs when they always do like the career counselling thing. Like, we never had that. Did you have that?
No, they just kept us in there for as long as they could, and then they just unleashed us on the world.
Yeah, we don't really have that, the culture of that in this country, do we? Like, where someone tells you what you're. I think we did, though. I think we did used to have it in, like, the 70s or 80s or something. I've heard stories about it. Anyway, yeah, I had counselling at uni because I was going through a little bit of a stressful time at uni. And I just remember the...
What course were you doing?
It wasn't because of the course. I was, okay.
But what was it though?
I was doing film and television production. Very stressful course.
I could understand why that was really stressful, actually.
Look, don't make me make you feel bad, okay? Don't make me unleash what my issue was. No, okay. So my mum died when I was at uni, and also I was transitioning as well, and it was very, very difficult, very stressful time. Anyway,
I was just trying to have a bit of fun.
Yeah, I know. I just thought I'd bring it down a little bit. But anyway... But the point of this is, I have to tell you just to give context to the story, but like the counsellor that I had, she was a very nice woman, but I don't think she had any sort of degree. I don't think she, because basically her solution to my problems was just to tell me that I'm very brave. I think they call it the Caitlyn Jenner therapy, where they just tell you how brave you are. And so into her grief therapy was, she printed me off a poem off the internet, and she also told me that I should.
I wonder what she googled after you told her what you were sort of going through. What did she google to find that poem?
She just googled like
the keywords.
Yeah. I remember it being quite a rubbish poem as well. And her advice to me for dealing with grief was, she was like, write your mum a letter, put it in a bottle and throw it in the sea.
Did you do it?
No, that would be littering, wouldn't it? I wouldn't do that.
The thing is, she's like a secondary school counsellor. Like she's expecting people to have maths-based stress and stuff like that. She didn't expect you to come in with like a fucking suitcase full of problems. Like, help me out, mate. It's like, my God, I'm the counsellor / sort of like supply English teacher. I don't know what I'm doing here.
That's true. Yeah, I did put quite a lot on her shoulders. What's the worst lie you've ever told and then had to like fess up to? You know, having a Nick moment. Have you ever had a Nick moment where you've like told a lie and then had to reveal it?
I used to lie a lot about a lot of little things. I'm not too sure if I've ever owned up to any big lies that I've made.
Okay, what is the biggest lie that you've made then? Own up to them now.
I'm not going to own up to them now. Okay, what's the best time and place to own up to the big lies? Oh yeah, I reckon on a sort of like an audio format that's going to be sort of distributed worldwide across the internet. That's probably the best time to do it.
It'd be good for your conscience though, wouldn't it?
No, I think it'd be worse for my conscience. I know that I'm the only person who knows that I know. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
So I know, but the thing is, I'm not trying to say that like I've told lies. I told a little. I told so many lies that my parents wouldn't even believe me when I was telling the truth.
Were you a compulsive liar?
Yeah, I was. I would lie about stuff even if the telling the truth wouldn't get me into trouble.
Yeah, that's compulsive lying.
I'm the sort of kid who used to lie about stuff whilst doing it.
Like what? Tell me.
Just like, say I was like, so sometimes my parents used to catch me just sort of stood on the like the kitchen cabinet just stealing like biscuits out of the tin and that. But like while they're doing it, and then they'd be like, and then they'll come in and I'd be like, what are you doing up there? And I'd be like, I'm just looking for like a mug. And then the mug cupboard would be like on the other side of the kitchen or whatever. And then I'd just keep going with the lie, like, oh, I just didn't know they weren't in this cupboard, even though we lived in this house for like 7 years or whatever. But then my parents wouldn't believe me even if I was telling the truth. Like one time I was just sat on a curb because I have got a brother who's a little bit older than me. We used to fight all the time, and he had his own mates and I had mine, and we didn't really have the same sort of mates. So he was playing knock and run and I was just watching him from the curb across the road. And then they played knock and run all down the street, and then these neighbours came out and they saw me sitting there, and I was like, I don't know what's going on, something. And then they told my parents, and my parents, so I basically grasped my brother up. But then he got his mate who was playing knock and run with to come round and say that it was actually me who was doing it. And then I got grounded for like 2 weeks, and then they just kept coming around and just sort of laughing at me and that.
I have a lie associated with knock and run, as you call it. What is that? What you used to call it, knock and run?
Well, it was knock ginger was another one.
Knockdown ginger is what we used to call it. I don't know why it's called that though. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know why it's called that. Probably something to do with ginger kids or something.
Possibly.
Rangers.
Is that what you call them?
That's Australian. That's like bogan for ginger, isn't it? Ranger. Fucking ranger, mate. Hello?
I'm just pranking you again. Just doing a prank on you. you know what I used to do with knockdown ginger? I used to, like, because I was always, like, a reluctant knockdown ginger player. Like, I would hang out with people.
You just wait for them to answer?
No, I'm not a psychopath, but, like, I am. No, but I would hang out with people who wanted to play it, but I was a little bit of, like, a wuss, really. I didn't really want to play it. So whenever people used to knock and run, I just used to walk. And, like, whenever they used to come out, they used to, I guess they technically kind of caught me. But I would just be like, I'd be playing it so cool that I'd just be like, no, it wasn't me. Like, if it was me, I would have ran, you know. Like, they went that away, kind of thing.
Yeah, and then you, like, pointed in two different directions at the same time, like a cartoon.
Yeah, and span around and fell over. I'll tell you the lie that springs to mind for me that from my childhood is that, like, I once convinced, like, everyone on my street, like, all the kids on my street, and the parents, that I had seen a ghost, like, down by the flats, and I played it so convincing, like, I played it so convincing that I, like, scared myself and, like, convinced myself that it was true. And I remember, like, as I was doing it, I wasn't sure why I was doing it. Do you know what I mean? I must have just been bored, but, like, I was just, like, spinning this tale. I remember, like, so basically what happened is, like, I went down there's this hill where I used to live called Cumberland Hill, and it was a bit, it's kind of creepy down there. And I remember going down there, and there's all these, like, estates down there, and I would go down there, and I remember there's, like, a car park, and I remember seeing a plastic bag in the car park, right? And in my brain, I just remember thinking, that's not a plastic bag, that is a ghost. And then I just, like, played.
Oh, so you say it's a lie, but you sort of half believed it.
I made it true to myself by assigning ghosthood to a plastic bag. Yeah, I kind of, like, it was just a plastic bag, honestly. And I saw it and I went, oh my God, a ghost. And I literally ran up the hill. I started crying. I was like, I really, like, went full Oscar with it. And I was like,
dude, this is how you do it, though. If you're going to be a child that lies, you have to fully commit like this.
I really did. Like, I was literally, like, sacrificing my reputation, you know. I was, like, crying and stuff.
What reputation was that?
As a hard nut, you know, it was a bit renowned hard nut. And anyway, I, like, ran up the hill and I was, like, crying, and I was saying to everyone, like, no, honestly, like, there's a ghost down there. I was like, it's a woman, and she was floating, and she was wearing a hat, and I was just like, I was properly, like, spinning it,
wearing a hat.
And I was like, I just made myself, I must have looked like an absolute psychopath, but I remember I had people, like, believe in it and stuff.
Other kids started crying as well.
I mean that's what you hope for, isn't it, when you're spinning a ghost story. I think also because I was kind of obsessed with ghosts when I was a kid, and I had, like, a book about ghosts, and I just really wanted to see one, and unfortunately I never really have seen one. So
one time I was at my friend's birthday party, and my brother had to come as well, because I was a little bit younger, and he had to, like, sort of take me there. And then about halfway through, he just came running in, and he came up and he was like, our stepmom's been in, like, an accident. And I was like, oh shit. And then so I was like, we sort of have to go now, like, she's like, they don't know. And I was like, is she okay? And he was like, I just don't know, we have to go home now though. And then when we were like, so we left and we were like proper running, he was like sprinting, and then he's like, about halfway there he just slowed down to, like, a walk. And then I was like, what's going on? And he was just like, no, I just wanted to go home.
I love that, that's great.
That's bad, though, man. I was literally like,
No, it's nice, though. It's nice, though, because it's like, you know, you think the worst, but then you get it revealed to you that the worst hasn't happened. That's kind of nice. You know, the relief must have been palpable.
Well, I kept that grudge for years. How did you say that thing about my mum? That's a thing like that, but that's like 4 years later.
I mean, what do you think is, what's the most recent lie you've told? Because I don't really tell lies anymore, you know. Like, I haven't lied in quite a while, I don't think. Except for, like, you know, the occasional sort of, like, oh, you know, I can't do that thing because I'm doing this thing or whatever. Like, I can't come to this party of yours because I'm, you know, washing my hair or something. And everyone knows that's a lie because I never wash my hair. So.
Or, like, I can't do your stand-up comedy gig in the park. I've got another booking somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm going to say right now that I haven't told lies anymore. Anything that I've told to anyone who's listening to this has been completely and utterly the truth. And I will take that to my grave.
Most of your stand-up material is lies, though.
Including my stand-up material. It's not lies, it's embellishments. It has kernels of truth, like popcorn kernels of truth.
like KFC kernels of truth. There's, yeah. Do you know, have you seen that KFC advert now, like on YouTube? There's a KFC advert, and it goes, it goes, you know that thing we tell you to do? Don't do it for now, which is finger licking.
Oh, because of the Rona?
Yeah, but that's stupid, right? Because that doesn't that just, I mean, you're still allowed to lick your fingers if you're eating, aren't you?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot. Don't lick anyone else's fingers. Maybe that's what they're saying.
Yeah, but it never said that in the advertising. You know, it's other people's finger licking.
I think it's good. It's good. I think it's good satire. It's like KFC are highlighting how crazy some of the regulations seem.
You know, there's that that thing that people say about KFC that's like, oh, you like they changed the name, like you can't, not allowed to call it Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore because
it doesn't contain enough chicken.
Yeah, is that true?
I don't know, because now they put on, because about 5 years ago they were like, now made with 100% chicken, and I was like, well, what the fuck were you making before? What the hell did they used to be made out of? Because I, like, before, like, 10 years ago, I thought it was real chicken. Like, why are you only just telling me this now?
I mean, I think the original thing was that, like, it was, like, a different kind of bird, wasn't it? It was, like, some kind of weird...
like a partridge.
Yeah,
or like
a peacock.
Or, like, a golden eagle.
No, it was like some big mutant... Like, I think people thought it was, like, some mutant, like, seven-titted bird or something.
there's one KFC have just got one giant bird, and they just sort of siphon off like meat and fat from it, but then somehow keep it alive, and it's just this horrible, like, it's just giant, it's like Godzilla but a chicken, and they just keep it in under like a mountain or something like that. I like I like the social distancing barriers in KFC. I haven't actually been into a KFC since we've been allowed out of the houses yet, but I was just like looking in there being like, because it sort of give you like, it looks like you've got a weird little personal sort of trough space now, like no one can see you, and there's like sort of no shame attached, because I attach the most amount of shame to KFC, I think, because it's so like disgusting and sort of finger licking and that in it, and I always want to get like a big bucket of chicken. I'm not going to do KFC by halves, do you know what I mean? I'm going in for that family bucket. I want 7 corns on the cob, do you know what I mean? That's what I want.
I mean, I haven't had KFC in a long time, but I do remember it being the most undignified one that you can have. You
yeah,
know?
And now you've got your own little booth. It's fucking great. Like, you can just go to fucking town. Apart from the people who are sat by the window, and sometimes they forget that the people outside can still see them. They're just sort of like, they got chicken like coming out of the fucking ears and shit. Their faces like got fucking absolute grease fest, man.
It is proper greasy. I tell you how you can tell that the one way that you can tell that KFC is probably the worst of the fast food places is that, like, in my experience, KFC has the worst smelling toilets I've ever been in my life. Like there's this KFC near where I used to live, and like I would pop in there occasionally just to like use the toilet. And it smells absolutely rancid every time, because it's like,
that's your own fault. You're one of the worst people. Who's nipping in? Just, you not read the signs? They're only for customers only. You've got to buy something. Just get a little tub of gravy and then go into the toilet.
It's not vegetarian, that gravy.
You don't have to eat it. The point is you've got to contribute.
I used to like their beans, though. Their beans were quite nice.
Yeah, they were just fucking Pines beans. Can't get those wrong. Apart from the fact that they probably deep fry them still. That's the only downside.
Oh, they didn't taste... Are they Heinz beans? They tasted like a little bit more... slightly more barbecue. They're barbecue beans, aren't they? They're not Heinz beans.
I think it's absolutely mad that a vegetarian would go into KFC. I know they've got that fucking...
What, to use the toilet?
No, yeah, I mean, it's like a fucking... There's meat in the air. You're like, look, you've come into contact with too much meat even just by stepping through the door. You know what I mean? As you're siphoning meat through your paws at that point.
Look, vegetarians have to go where they can, you know? Like, they have to... Like when KFC had its... vegan burger or whatever, like I tried it and my review of KFC nowadays is this: the burger was fine, you can get better ones elsewhere, and the chips are disgusting now, so,
and the toilets smell awful. So Anna's threatening to leave. We don't know why. It's probably, to be honest, what happened is probably one of Captain Tom's never-ending stories.
What, you think because Tom is so boring, Anna wants to leave?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe there's a reason why they blocked that episode. Like, maybe he just told a story that started at the start of that episode and then ended 3 days later. And then nothing.
It's just a three-day story.
Yeah, it's like the first Lord of the Rings director's cut, just nothing. Nothing's going on here.
Do you know what? That's so true about Lord of the Rings. It is the most boring film series. Are you a fan of it?
Right, look, I just don't understand director's cuts. I'm like, look, the directors they've cut them out for a fucking reason. Unless I was like a massive fan, like, they should give you the option. They shouldn't just be like, this is the long one. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing you could do about it.
Oh, they do give you the option sometimes. Like have you never seen, like, so for example, Blade Runner is like the famous one, isn't it? It's like when Blade Runner first came out. Have you seen Blade Runner?
Do you mean the Oscar Pistorius biopic?
No, I don't mean that.
No, I've seen the 80s Blade Runner, like, before. I didn't watch the new one. It just, I don't know, it's not really for me.
Well, that's that bit done then.
No, but I love, but you could, I like to hear about stuff.
I don't want to.
But anyway, for some reason, Anna wants to leave the house because of, and that's what my if I was to bet on it, I'd say it's because of Captain Tom and one of his sort of meaningless stories. And Nick was just like, yeah, I think you should go. I think you should just leave. If you want to leave, just leave. Everyone else was like, no, stay. And he's like, nah, just get out of here.
That basically was what Nick was doing. That's a prime example of his sort of like shiftiness level, is that like he can even make that sound convincingly like nice. Like, he was kind of like, the way he worded it and stuff was very much like, you know, you should just do what you feel is right or whatever. But actually he was really trying to say, you should probably just go. Like, you should probably just leave. He's very, very manipulative, that Nick.
And that's why I think that all of the stuff where he was saying that, oh, that story was a lie, because he didn't have to say that. Like, we heard the story. We said it was a lie straight from the start. Like, he didn't actually...
We did say that. You can go back and listen.
Like, he didn't have to tell him it was a lie. And why did he just bring up Tom and Mel? Why did he just tell them? Because he wants them to then go and independently tell other people so that they're all sort of... He's trying to create, like, I don't know, he's always trying to create weird situations. Like, why wouldn't he just tell them all when they're all sat down? Like, why would he?
Well, to be fair, that's what I did when I came out. You know, I just told, like, my dad, and then my dad just, like, told the rest of the family.
Well, what you should have done is gone into the Big Brother house and just sat them all down and be like, I'm Jen. And, like, Craig's like, who the fuck are you, like?
It's hard, you know, it's hard to tell everyone at once. Like, have you ever had to, like, tell anyone anything? Like, you probably haven't, have you? You probably haven't.
Well, I told because I had kids when I was like 22 23, so I had to tell my family and stuff that, and I guess that's quite a difficult thing, because like some people are like, what the fuck have you done, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
He's ruined his life.
Yeah, but that sort of thing. But I mean, no one was really like that, but like but I did feel a bit like, oh, you know, how am I going to tell them that sort of thing? So I've had some situations like that. But
how did you do it? What did you do?
I just I got a you know, like a doll of a baby, and then I went like, think fast, to my dad, and launched the doll at him, like sort of like a rugby player.
Yeah.
And then I'd written on its head, you know, I'm having a baby.
Was that your gender reveal?
Yeah, I just drew a big knot cock on it or whatever.
Oh my god. Come on, how did you really do it?
Well, I just invited him over to my house, which, to be honest, was like a proper skank house. And this is the time when I was wearing, like, you know, proper ripped up jeans, and I had just like proper, I did look like a fucking absolute state, to be honest. And I sat him down and was just...
When was this? Was this recently?
Yeah, it was the other week. My kids are like 11, but we've only just told the parents. Like, you only just, by the way, your grandparents.
And they're just like, we were wondering who those kids were you keep hanging out with.
Imagine if they didn't mention it for like 11 years, thinking I was just hanging out with these kids.
I mean, you do hang out at skate parks. So anyway, continue. Tell me your story.
And it's not really a story. I just sort of sat them down and they were both very disappointed in us. No.
Oh, did they say that?
No, but they were like, because the thing is, we had planned to, because I'm from Yorkshire, and we planned to move down.
No, you don't stop going on about
and
it,
we
do
planned,
you?
This is part of the story. And we planned to move to Brighton, and... So we'd already planned that, and we'd already sorted out where we were going to go. So their biggest sort of concern was like, why don't you just stay here and have babies here and then go? But then we both really wanted to go. So we were like, oh, we're just going to try and do it down there, sort of thing. So that was their main issue. Not...
Yeah. So they weren't that. So they weren't bothered about like the fact that you were having kids. They were bothered about the fact that you were becoming a southerner.
Yeah, that's it. They were just like, yeah, but do you really want, do you really
you've
want
let to... us all down.
They were like, do you really want to raise southern children?
Yeah.
That's the sort of closest thing to that sort of thing. I oh yeah, I did. I dropped out of college, and I had to tell my parents that. But I, to be honest, I didn't tell them for ages. I just kept going for like 2 months on the bus every morning.
Did you really? Oh, that's tragic. That's like that's like people that lose their job and don't want to tell their partner, and then they just eat their lunch in their car.
I'm on a business call. It's just my, like, the thing is, my dad said that probably one of the most northern dad things to me that he's ever said, and it sort of made me not want to tell him.
Go on.
He was like, if you drop out of college, I'm going to make you work in a factory that's not even near our house.
Oh no.
And I was like, oh my god.
Did he?
Well, no, because I don't think that you can do that. You can't just force yourself.
I don't know how it works in the north.
No, but I didn't tell him for like 2 months, and then I planned to go to a different college to study music, in like, to get a BTEC in music. Well, that didn't start for another few months, but at least then I had a plan together. So I was like, Dad, I've dropped out of college recently. Like, I've been going for the last 2 months, but very recently, like yesterday. But I have already put all this other stuff in place. And he's like, wow, you did all that in like a day. And I was like, yeah, I've did all that in a day.
I'm impressed, son. You've really turned your life around. What were you doing at college the first time? What were you studying?
I was doing like proper A level, so I was doing like media studies, English literature, modern history, and geology.
So you did media studies, and you still lost that podcast, Terrible.
Well, that's one of the reasons why AS Media Studies. To be honest, we just watched the intro to the film Seven like about 300 times.
That's all you need.
We watched it so much that I don't even like the film Seven now, and that's a fucking travesty.
You did Kevin Spacey studies.
Kevin Spacey studies, yeah.
Only like, there's a whole syllabus at school where it's just all Kevin Spacey films. Seven is a good film, but like, everyone likes to tell you that, you know, it's all right.
I'll tell you what isn't a good film. I'll tell you what's not a good film.
Go on then.
Watching the intro of Seven like 1,000 times in a row. So do you know Anna's completely fallen apart? Yeah, she's given up on life. She's been in this house for 3 weeks and she's over it, completely over it. So it's so much so that there was this whole scene where Melanie was in the bedroom just trying to talk to her, and literally all she was doing was going, It went on for like 10 minutes.
That's me on this podcast today. I know, but sometimes you just feel like that, don't you? Sometimes you have to process what's being said, and it's difficult sometimes. Sometimes you're just trying to. Sometimes it's better to listen than to speak, isn't it? I know it's like a bad thing that we've missed like 3 days worth of whatever's going on in the Big Brother house. But on the upside, I think we might have missed the majority of the task, which is semaphore signalling. So I'm quite happy about that, right?
Yeah, man. It's like the tasks are like, it's like they're in the scouts, but they don't even get badges.
Were you in the scouts?
No, I went to the scouts for one day to go so my mate could get his bring your mate to scouts badge.
Is that a badge? Bring your mate to scouts badge.
Well, I don't know what fucking Baden Powell calls it, but
I think he calls it the white man's burden or something.
It's the posse badge.
They love Rudyard Kipling, don't they? Like, it's all based off Rudyard Kipling and his cakes. And
my mum used to be an arcaler.
Did she? I can see that.
Yeah. When I was really little, so I'd been on scout trips. I used to go as like a little kid, like a little fucking dumb mascot.
I was in Beavers, and I bloody loved Beavers. I thought Beavers was hot shit, like, because Beavers, all you did in Beavers, firstly, Beavers was mixed, so it had a nicer atmosphere. It was like, you know, it was more chill. The uniform was better, it was cooler, it was like kind of like a white and with like a green what do you call it, woggle. And then
sounds problematic now.
It does, yeah, but you know what it is, don't you? Like, you don't see them anymore, do you? A woggle. Like, I don't even know where you get them from. It's like a little piece of plastic that you use for doing that. There's something so, like, camp about cubs. It's like...
About a woggle?
Well, about the whole neck scarf thing, you know, a little neckerchief that you wear, and a lot of badges involved. They're very gay things. Anyway, but it was really fun because it was like, everyone was really cool and all you did is like eat cakes and play with paper airplanes, like do a paper airplane race, or like it was all very low key, you know, do a bit of drawing, have some squash, run around in a hall for a bit. Perfect yeah. time. And then, so because that was so good, I was like, yeah, I want to go to Cubs. I'll do Cubs as well. Cubs, oh my God. It's a bit like, basically when I was a kid, I also went to this Friday Club, it was called. I remember a lot of my friends were like, oh, we go to Friday Club. And I remember saying to my dad, like, oh, I really want to go to Friday Club. It sounds great. And I went to Friday Club, and it's just called Friday Club. And you go there, it's like in a church hall. And the first evening at Friday Club was proper fun. It was, again, it was squash, it was drawing, it was, you know, games, things of that nature. Sweets were involved. I remember that. Got a bag of sweets at the end. Day two at Friday Club, completely different. It was like, do you remember last week when we had sweets and had squash and played games? He was like, well, this week we're going to sit around in a circle and talk about Jesus. And I remember...
Honestly.
And I remember saying to my dad that evening, I went, never bring me back here again. I'm not coming back. But the thing about Cubs is the same thing, but just slightly more disguised. But Cubs is like, I found Cubs not only to be ultra religious, but it's like ultra strict. Like they would line us up and like, check that our uniforms were all neat and like make sure that our like nails were clean and like make sure we're standing up straight and that we know the Lord's Prayer. And I was just like, why am I actually remember like crying and being like, I don't want to ever come back to Cubs. And I remember like everyone rallying around me and being like, no, it's okay, like why are you crying? And I was just being like, I hate it.
Yeah, well, that's it's so like, it's archaic, isn't it? It's like fucking, it's like the Famous Five and that, like Enid Blyton shit. It's from like the, it's like the railway children, all that fucking it's like it's Narnia. It's like all that, it's just from the past. It's like, why?
But I stuck in it for like at least a year or something. Like I really tried, but I just, it got to breaking point. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I remember like constantly every Wednesday, I remember like feeling dread and being like, oh no, I've got to go to fucking Cubs. I remember being there and being like, I don't care about the Jungle Book. I just so don't. Like, I don't understand why it's all about the Jungle Book. And, like, I don't understand what an Arcala is. I was lost. I just did not like it at all.
Well,
were you in any of that?
Yeah. So I did Cubs and stuff for a bit. But, like, no, I wasn't that into it, man. Like I didn't... And, like, I couldn't give a... didn't really care about the Scouts too much. I mean, my brother's, like... Because I've got, like, a sort of army man dad. Like, a sort of action man dad. My brother went to like cadets and that sort of stuff. Like, do you know what I mean? He's like after school, he's just,
oh god, yeah, cadets.
After school, he's just stood there in like camouflage, like full camos, and you're like, what are you preparing for? Do you know what I mean? I'm just gonna eat some spaghetti and play Nintendo 64.
Those kids that are like well into cadets, like no offense to your family or whatever, but they are the weirdest fucking kids ever, aren't they? Like, they are nutcases.
What are they preparing for?
Exactly. Like, I remember, like, I won't say their name, but I remember, like, in my secondary school, there was, we had a kid who was, like, proper into cadets, right? And he was just, like, the most sort of... He was, like, the most sort of hyper-masculine, like, sort of...
I thought you were going to say glycemic.
No. Just like total tryhard though, do you know what I mean? Like everything to him was all about masculinity and like about being a man and stuff. When he's like, you know, 14 or whatever, he's just like, you gotta be a man. And he would come into school like wearing like camo stuff and like he was always talking about the war and like army stuff and like he had a whole knowledge about like regiments and I don't know, like rations or whatever they talk about. And and he was also like a massive dick, right? And he used to sort of like, not, I wouldn't say bully me, but he was like not nice to me kind of thing, right? And then I'm not kidding. Like when I came out, like literally like 2 years into my transition where like, I have to say like, I wasn't the best looker. I got like a Facebook private message from him and it.
Uh-oh.
I know. And he was like, He's like, wow. He's like, look what you've become, kind of thing. I was like, yeah. he was like, you're really like hot stuff. And I was like, oh my fucking God, like this is too much.
Were you like, stand down, soldier?
Stand down, yeah.
This battle's not for you, sir.
I've been targeted recently a lot by those army adverts. Cause like now with the YouTube algorithm, like whenever I get an advert that is like directed to me, I always assume that it's directed to me based on some kind of reason, right? Because I get like a lot, you know, you get a lot of ads for like clothes or like things that I've been searching for online. So when I get like an army one, I'm always a bit confused as to like why it's been targeted at me. It's almost like the internet's last ditched attempt to make me a man or something.
Maybe the government are building up for an invasion or something. They're like, let's start feeding them these army adverts yeah. now, so that when the time comes, some of them will be broken down enough to join up.
But these army adverts, like, it always amazes me just how sort of just how bad they are. Do you know what I mean? Like they all have the same message. They've just been making the same advert for like 20 years, haven't they? Which is essentially
paragliding with guns.
Well, no, but it's even more egregious than that. It basically says that like. Anything that you get outside of the army is just short term, like a fleeting sort of enjoyment, and anything that you get from inside the army is like, you know, for your whole life or whatever. So it's like in this new one, it shows this guy and he's a soldier and he's like walking through like the sand dunes or something of a desert, and there's like a hologram that appears of like one of his old friends. And he's like, oh, you're coming out tonight? Like, it's Saturday night. We're going to go and get drunk or whatever. And then he, like, disappears. And then there's another one that pops up and it's like, you know, it's stuff like, oh, like, I'm your girlfriend or whatever. And then, like, pops away. And then there's one that pops.
I'd love it if there's one that was just like, I'm your nan. Remember your nan?
But then it pops up and it's like, and then a real person appears and it's a soldier. And he's like, grabs him by the hand, like squeezes his bum, and is like, and is like, gives him a grip on the dick, and is like the skills you've got here, like gonna last your whole life. Like all your friends from back home are just their pieces of shit, but your friends in the army, we're with you till you die. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's almost like, do you know what it's like? It's like a cult, isn't it? It's like when a cult tries to cut you off from your family. And says like, we're your real family, sort of thing.
It's because you have to go all in on the army. You can't just go to war half-assed, you know what I mean? Like, you can't just be like, oh, I don't know. You've got to be like, fucking kill everyone. That's what you, do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
So, like, yeah, for sure.
I just feel like the kind of, so you would never join because you're the other person who thinks that advert's kind of ridiculous, but some people are going to be watching that at home like, fuck, yes, that is me, you know?
Do you remember that one where it was like,
lead me to war.
Do you remember that one where it was like, if you can fix a bike, you can fix a motorbike. If you can fix a motorbike, you can fix a car. If you can fix a car, you can fix a tank. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works, you know.
And if you can fix a tank, you can die for your country.
Yeah. Because, like, for example, like, I can fix, like, a pen if it, like, comes apart, right?
No, yeah, to be honest, I don't even buy that.
I can, like, if a pen comes apart, like, I can put it back together. Do you know when you're putting a, do you ever do that thing where you, like, take a pen apart and put it back together? Do you ever pretend that it's, like, a
basic,
rifle?
Basic mechanics, yeah.
This is my rifle. The pen is mightier than the sword. But, yeah, you can put a pen, but I can put a pen back together, but I can't.
This is my pen. There are many pens like it, but this pen is mine.
My pen is called Charlene.
Your pen would be called Charlene.
Would you ever join the army?
No, man. Like, as I say, I've grown up on army bases, and my dad's been to like several different like sort of war zones and that. He's been to Northern Ireland and sort of Iraq and places like that, I think a couple of times. And for me, it just didn't seem appealing to me. But you know, he's my dad's very like proud of his service, and you know, he was in there for 26 years, and like, you know, he should be proud of it and that. But like, it's for me, I'm just like too. I think the starts are too early and there's too much exercise involved.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that is like one of the crazy things about it. It's too much. It's just like, looks like a nightmare of exercise, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I just don't want to get shouted at for doing a job that I chose to do.
Was your dad like disappointed at all though that you didn't go into the...
I think he was relieved for the army.
Oh, really? You could be an army chef though, couldn't you?
Yeah, I worked. That's my first job. My first proper job was washing up in an army kitchen, and I got barked at by a sergeant major once because yeah, had these little packets. They get a special little room, like so they get a hall, and then there's like a little shitty room, and that's where the officers go and sit, and they all feel really fucking. They're like, I'm just gonna go sit in my special room actually, and I went in there, and then they all used to talk to us like shit because they were like officers and that. So I went in, and he had this little packet of horseradish sauce, and he was just squeezing it out, and it was like really off. It's like so like all like weird lumpy and that, and he was just like look, this is like congealed shit. Just kept shouting congealed shit at me, and I was like 16 years old, and I was like, what the fuck, I don't work for the horseradish company, man, what the fuck do you want me to do about it?
But you're not even a soldier, are you? So like, why is he shouting? Yeah, at you?
Like he was trying to court martial. He was like, drop and give me 20 and that. And I'm like, I can't even. I could give you like 1.5. How long have you got? You probably got work to do or something like that. 20 fucking press ups. Come on, man.
Speaking of army food, I watched a YouTube video the other day. I found this guy, and he basically just eats. Old like rations.
I used to love it. My dad used to have in the garage, used to have ration packs, and they had like Kendall mint cake, big blocks of Kendall mint cake in there, like just fucking like tins of cheese, which are like the worst thing ever. It's like a tin of cheese. It's terrible.
But he's eating ones from the 80s though. Like they're from the 1980s.
Well, like tinned ones. I see they're still going.
They're not tinned. They're like, it's all packets. It's all in packets. Like some of it's freeze dried.
Yeah, like powdered stuff.
Some of it, but not all of it. Like some of it's just in like for example, like the one that I watched, he ate one from 1982 or something, and it had a beef stroganoff in it, and he ate that.
Did it have a picture of Margaret Thatcher on the front, just with a bowl of stroganoff? It's like, this is for your country, lads.
Yeah, but surely you can't eat that, can you? Like just because it's like vacuum sealed or whatever, it's still beef.
How did he seem as a person? Was he a bit off?
Well, yeah. I mean, anyone on YouTube is, aren't they? But like he seemed like I don't want to speak out of turn. Like maybe he was a soldier, but he seemed to me like he seemed quite young, and he seemed to me like someone who just like really wants to be a soldier. But just for the food.
He was just in it for like the merch and that.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the kind of person you always see in the army surplus store.
Yeah. Everyone knows someone like that, don't they? Like, I used to know somebody who was, like, properly into army stuff. I remember, like...
Like Mike from Spaced.
Well, exactly. And actually, there used to be a shop in Lee Green called Mad Mike's, it was called. And it was one of those army shops. You know, they had, like, all, like, flak jackets and that. And, like, helmets and...
Balaclavas and just sort of all the things you need to do a bit of domestic terrorism.
Yeah, everything that you need to start your own, like, guerrilla army.
Like, yeah. I'll just take 30 balaclavas and... What are these for? Exactly.
Just setting up my own militia just on the weekend.
I'm just setting up my own army surplus store down the street.
That would make a good short film, wouldn't it? About two army surplus stores that go to war.
That's good. I like that.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyone listening, shut up. It's our idea. That's TM that shit.
But what is, you know that signalling, the semaphore signalling that they're doing in Big Brother for the task?
It's cheerleading for boats.
Is it for, I thought it was for planes.
It could be for planes.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because I've only seen people do it like on runways or whatever, and I've always...
Yeah, but they're not spelling stuff out. There's not enough time for that. They're like, you... can but they're just
no but I'm I'm sure they've got like a I'm sure they've got like a code system, you know, where like this movement means this and this movement not spelling it out like Morse code or whatever.
The guy just starts doing like death drops and stuff like that. They're like, I don't know what this means. Are we allowed to go? Do we stay?
That'd be pretty good.
Imagine if you're coming into land, and then at the last minute the guy was doing the don't land signal. You'd be like, fuck,
we're going back up.
Tom trying to do, what did you say it was called? Semaphore signalling.
That's what they said, semaphore signalling, yeah. I've never heard of it before. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right.
So basically Tom was doing it in front of Mel, who for some reason is just fluent in it.
Oh, Mel knows, yeah. Mel's know. They just know.
Mel's do know. And he was just spelling it out, but it was going really well. Like, he was like, I've written down what he spelled. And basically the first three words were, and are you? And he was just doing it well. And then I don't know if this is kind of how I'm like in real conversation anyway, as I'm sure everyone listening probably knows. But it just completely fell apart at the last half of the sentence. He just started spelling out. It was like if he was on Countdown, but you only chose consonants.
Yeah.
And she was spelling it out. And he was like, Tom, I think what he's trying to spell is he's just had like a minor stroke, like halfway through the word or something.
I mean, I would criticize him, but I think that's kind of how I would be too. I'm not very good at like anagrams or like Scrabble or things like that. Like I'm bad at speaking, as you know, and you've seen my spelling on WhatsApp. Like I'm not dyslexic, but I'm not far off, you know.
You're on the dyslexia scale.
Yeah, on the dyslexia scale, I'm just below getting a free MacBook.
I'm in between getting a little bit of extra time on your exams and getting the free MacBook. I'm somewhere in the middle of that bit there.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the has to sit on a separate table at primary school part of it.
When I was watching Tom spell out that word, like, because Mel's the only one who can really understand it, and Tom's really bad at sort of expressing himself, really, in like, imagine if he just started, like, it was a cry for help, he just started spelling out, like, Mel, I just want to be on my own, and I miss my family.
Wouldn't that be great, actually, if, like, they all learn, or some of them learn how to do semaphore, and they all just started like communicating like that in secret in the house. That'd be really cool. Or like imagine an episode of Big Brother where like everyone in there is like deaf and they're all like doing sign language.
Oh, you're proposing Big Deaf Brother?
Yeah, big deaf Big Brother. Yeah, I'm proposing
like
that.
The Paralympics of reality TV.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's the Paralympics of reality TV. I'm just saying that, like, it would be interesting to see, because it would be...
I'm a Paralympian, get me out of here, we call it that.
Yeah.
Are there deaf people in the Paralympics?
I don't know. I don't see why there would have to be, you know. Like, this is...
It's diving, but no one can hear.
Deaf javelin.
They imagine they had the 100-meter sprint, but they would never know when to go because they can't hear the fucking starter pistol, so they just... It's the first one to have the confidence to be like, I guess it must have happened.
How strange is it that they use a gun to, like, to signify that the race is about to begin? Like, I wonder where that comes from originally.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they can't... Did they use it in horse racing? Because that's got to give the horses some sort of PTSD, do you know what I mean? They know what guns mean. Horse, race horses, don't they?
They do, yeah. They get a cap to the head, don't they?
It just seems a bit callous to use a gun at the start and then potentially at the end as well.
Yeah, they never use a gun to end the race, do they? It's just like the loser gets shot.
What I thought about when I was watching this episode is just Darren is just trying his best, isn't he?
Yeah, like you mean like trying to get everyone to sing along to his like weird little drum circle.
He's just gone like full clown. He's just like everyone's falling apart and arguing and stuff like that. And then Darren's just like,
But he was doing one of those like really cringy songs that you have to do in primary school. Like, I don't know if you ever did this, but like it's like where you all say a different word. And trying to so he was getting some people to, he was getting one person to go beautiful, and then he was getting someone else to go minging. And like, on another note, minging, like, people don't say that anymore, do they? Like, but do you remember what that used to be, all the rage, like, you minger, like minging, whatever.
But and he knows that Anna's feeling bad already, she wants to leave, and he just goes, your word is minging.
Yeah, there's definitely something like something subconscious in that, isn't there, him saying that. But yeah, that song was absolutely abysmal. I was so glad when it was over.
But Darren, yeah, same here. But Darren is such like, even when it comes to nominations, like everything he does is just like positive. Like he's like, I'm going to vote for, what was it, Cray, because I feel like his business is going under. It's like.
But he said the exact same thing about both. I don't know if you noticed that. He went, I'm going to vote for Craig because he's got a business and I want him to know if it's going under. And I want to vote for Tom because he's got a business and I want him to know if it's going under. That's what he said.
Yeah. And then when he voted out Andy the other week, he said it's because his brother had like a motorbike race and he wanted to go and watch it or something like that.
Yeah, but see, I think that's kind of a cowardly move. I think that's like a cowardly... Sorry, someone's beeping. Can you hear those beeps? Do you know what? You can't... can't get a moment's peace in Hackney. I'm telling you, it's bloody mad house down there.
So when we're watching this, like I think Darren's like, because you've said it like a whole bunch of times, and I've sort of been like going between different house members, but Darren is clearly the best one in there.
He is. I'm so surprised that he doesn't win ultimately, because he...
And when somebody put him up for like nomination, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was like Tom or maybe it was Anna or someone like that, I was just like, what are you doing? Like, there's... Do you know who else is in the house? Like, have you met Nick before?
Like, Darren is legitimately a ray of sunshine. All I'm guessing is that he must do something pretty, like, disgraceful in the next few episodes. Like, I'm sure...
At one point, he's just going to get his knob out and then never put it away again. I bet he's got a denim penis.
A what?
A denim penis.
A denim. Oh, a denim.
What did you think I said?
Dead end, I thought you said.
Dead end. But I'd never. That can't be a good description, can it?
No, not particularly.
Not that anyone's penis is really going anywhere, so I guess they're all sort of dead end penises.
Do you know what, though? This episode wasn't too bad. Like, it had like a lot of things happening in it for a half an hour episode, like for one day or whatever.
Absolutely. And that revelation with Nick, where he was just like, I never had this dead wife, I just said it as an outrageous joke. That honestly is my favorite bit of like the whole thing so far. I was just like, why did any of this have to happen?
It was a good moment. It was fun. I think Mel was a little bit too forgiving instantly. You know, she was just like, it's fine.
No, she didn't want to be there, because when she was going up, she was like, oh, I've only got a minute. And he's like, what do you mean you've got a minute? We're in this house doing nothing all day.
I know, but you got to pretend like you're in like a normal environment.
Something must have happened, but people have stopped calling Nick out, because when we left them, Darren was like going hard, like, I don't want to hear about this, Nick, and so was Mel. But maybe they've just got like sort of bored of it, that it's just like, oh, I can't be bothered calling him out anymore, and that's how he's gonna get...
Well, listen, I mean, this is my point. We've missed 3 days, and anything can happen in 3 days, and I just, you know, I'm very disappointed. I want to know what we've missed. Obviously, we've missed quite a lot. You know, people have had like again Nick hasn't had a single vote in the entire 3 weeks of Big Brother, which is absolutely insane, because I know that we have like the benefit of hindsight, and also like we get to see bits that certain housemates don't get to see, but I don't know, like they've all seen enough, and some of them, like Mel was talking about how she doesn't trust Nick, and Darren was saying how he doesn't trust Nick. So what's happened? How has he managed to escape the vote again?
It's absolutely bizarre, isn't it?
I think he's like a witch or something. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's got like some kind of...
Like Darren Brown?
Yeah, like he's got some kind of crafty magic that he uses.
They're making a sequel to The Craft.
Are they? Who is?
The filmmakers are. Like, I saw it. There's a trailer. I haven't seen it.
They're making a sequel to Borat.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and they were originally, he was going to play the lead in The Craft, but then they got someone else in.
They got who did they get?
I don't know, but it was going to be Borat as like the main witch.
Borat.
Yeah, Borat.
My wife. Go and do a Borat impression.
My wife.
It's very nice.
That sounds like your American voice.
Hello, my name is Borat. It's very nice.
So everyone was all mad.
My wife is very nice. I'm a Borat.
Oh, sick. Do you remember that bit where he sang the Kazakhstan national anthem in that rodeo thing? That was quality. I love that bit.
Oh, Kazakhstan, I'm a boy. What else does Borat say?
He's like, my sister is greatest prostitute in Kazakhstan.
My sister greatest prostitute in Kazakhstan. All right. I'm a boy. Very nice.
I've got wedding sex.
I like sex. I'm a bummit. Very nice. Yikshamish, I'm a bummit. My name a bummit. My name a bummit. Will you be my friend? I'm a nice boy. But Borat looks old now, though, doesn't he? Don't you think?
Well, he looks about 10 years older than the old last one.
Yeah. I like to make a sexy time. I'm a boy. My name is Borat. My great success. My name is Borat. Wawa Vivo. I'm like, Wawa Vivo. I like a sex. I'm a Borat. My name is Borat. I like you. I like sex. It's nice. High five.
My wife, she dead.
My wife.
High five.
My wife, she dead. Very nice. I can do shit. I'm a Borat. I'm a US office. I'm Borat. I'm Ali G.
I'm Bruno.
My name is Bruno. I'm a gay.
I'm a gay.
Yorkshire Mish, my name is Bruno. I'm a gay. My name is Ali G.
My name is Muhammad Al-Fayed.
No.
Al-Fayed.
My name is Borat too. Yorkshire Mish. You're a gypsy. I'm a Bruno. Yorkshire Mish.
My Julie.
I'm a Borat.
Sweating.
I'm a Borat.